So what's the consequences then of leaky gut? It's all of these conditions, right? I talked about it in an earlier webinar, but all of these conditions, sensitivity, skin conditions, brain fog, metabolic disorders, pain, autoimmune, of course, respiratory issues, immune dysregulations, all of these things are a result of leaky gut. Now, how can all of these things that are seemingly unrelated to the gut be a consequence of leaky gut, right? I'll show you that in a upcoming slide, but just keep in mind, all of these things that aren't gut specific are a consequence of leaky gut. And the big consequence, and this is the real molecular connection between how all of these disease states can stem from leakiness in the gut, is this concept of endotoxemia, right? Metabolic endotoxemia is when you have a disrupted barrier system, so disrupted mucosa, tight junctions, mess up intestinal epithelium, low diversity in the gut microbiome that drove all of those things, low keystone species, overgrowth of pathogens and so on, and especially the elevation of gram-negative bacteria. I'll talk about what that is in a second. All of those features lead to this concept of endotoxemia. Endotoxemia is often called metabolic or postprandial endotoxemia because the biggest spike you see in toxins in your circulation is after a meal. 4 to 5 hours after a meal, you see the highest peak of endotoxins in circulation when your gut is leaky. This is why this has become a very definitive way to measure leaky gut in an individual, right? Is you're looking for postprandial or metabolic endotoxemia. If your gut is leaky and damaged, you eat a meal, 4 hours after that meal, you see a huge influx of LPS in circulation, in systemic circulation, right? If your gut is not leaky, you can eat that same meal, 4 hours, 5 hours after the meal, you barely see any bump up in the amount of endotoxins. That is the definition of endotoxemia, which is the consequence of leaky gut. So it's a great way of actually measuring leaky gut. Now, the endotoxemia leads to this pathology of chronic low-grade inflammation, right? And chronic low-grade inflammation can start the cascade of things like insulin resistance, elevated blood sugar levels, type 2 diabetes, obesity, weight gain, increased visceral fat, cardiovascular disease. So everything under the cardiometabolic banner. All of those disease states, which are the top four killers in the Western world, all of those things, which also then become independent risk factors for other chronic conditions, right? All of those things come by, as a result of endotoxemia, right? Endotoxemia is often in the literature described as the primary insult to some of these. I'll show you a couple of those papers. Normally, when I'm lecturing to doctors and clinicians, I go through a lot of that research. There's just tons and tons of meta-analysis and papers on this, but I'll show you a couple just so you get a sense that the research is showing this as well. But keep in mind that metabolic syndrome in the Western world is one of the biggest underlying chronic disease states that people face, and a lot of other diseases, so cancers, immune dysregulations, neurological things like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia, all of those things come with significant increased risk if you have metabolic syndrome. So even something like COVID, for example, here comes a virus that our system has never seen before. A 50-year-old with type 2 diabetes had 10 times higher risk of dying from being exposed to COVID compared to a 50-year-old without type 2 diabetes, right? 10 times, right? That is a huge difference in how one individual can handle something like a new virus versus another individual that handles this new virus. What is the difference between the two? It's not the diabetes. It's not the blood sugar resolution or incorrect resolution of blood sugar. It is the endotoxemia that that individual had that led to type 2 diabetes, and they still have elevated endotoxemia, right? Diabetics, obese individuals, people with cardiovascular disease, people with some degree of insulin resistance and even prediabetes all have significantly elevated endotoxemia and significantly elevated leaky gut. And it's the leaky gut that came first in all of these cases, right? That's what the meta-analysis studies have shown. They've even published in by the American Diabetic Association, and most of these large research institutional bodies are way behind often, but they've been ahead on this particular science, right? So keep in mind that metabolic endotoxemia is the consequence of a leaky gut. Leaky gut is a consequence of microbiome dysbiosis. And at the end of the day, metabolic endotoxemia leads to things like chronic low-grade inflammation and then the development of metabolic syndrome in individuals, right? So then you get cognitive dysfunction, brain disorders, liver dysfunction, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, fibrosis, and cirrhosis of the liver are also now very much tied to elevated levels of endotoxemia in individuals, right? So the gut is no longer protecting the liver. And on top of that, the gut is extremely toxic to the liver. So the liver is undergoing a lot more damage than it normally should. Hormone imbalances, autoimmune disease, and so on. Metabolic endotoxemia at the low end is approximated to impact around 50% of the adult population. We've seen a little bit higher in some of the clinical trials that we've done, but at least 50% of the population is affected by it, right?